Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Each of us has a calling, and everyone must ask Jesus, "What would you have me do, Lord?" Saul asked the Lord this after he was knocked from his horse at the sight of Jesus on the road to Damascus. He went on to preach the gospel and found churches all over Eastern Europe. What's your purpose? What's your calling? What will you ultimately do in the kingdom of heaven? Seek Jesus and you'll find out. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 18 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 9 through 24.
Notice it talks in verse 14 about fruits that their soul lusted after. They've departed from them. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from them. And you shall find them no more at all. You ever noticed that at a funeral, you never see a hearse followed by a U-Haul? There's a lesson there. You can't take anything with you but your soul. And beloved, as the church of Jesus Christ, remember that the only thing that we take into eternity are our souls and the things that we have invested in the kingdom of God. Revelation 14 verse 13 says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from here forth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Whatever you and I do for the Lord, it's going to follow us. You don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. You want to go and stand before the Lord, having run your course and used your gifts and talents for His kingdom and for His glory. John tells us that the world passes away in the lust thereof. All of the things of this world, the gold, the glitter, the wealth, the power, the luxury. You can have it all if you should so choose, but you die. And then what? That's why the Bible tells you and I as Christians, we're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're sojourners. And we must learn to keep a light touch on the things of this world. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And I pray that beginning with me and through the rest of this congregation, that the Spirit of God would give us a sound and proper understanding of what it means to live in this world, but not for this world. I feel very sad for the person whose identity and importance in life is wrapped up in what they wear, what they drive, where they live, how much money they make. Just living for the world, living for themselves. That's a recipe of an individual who will be frustrated and who will never experience true lasting joy and peace. You know why? Because God never intended that the things He blesses us with be the source of our joy and peace. The kingdom of God is not meat, it's not drink, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The psalmist says, "You will show me the path of life," because it's in your presence that there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, you and I as American Christians, we come here this morning. And you know that we would be considered, in comparison to the rest of the world, we're like the cream of the crop. You're wealthy. You know that? Materially, you're wealthy. And the Bible tells us that God indeed does daily load us with benefits. And He gives us those things richly to enjoy. But God never intended that His gifts and His blessings of life become more important and dear to us than Him, the giver of life Himself. In Psalm 116, the psalmist, overwhelmed at the goodness of God, asked the question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? God, You've been so good to me. What could I possibly do in return?" We can never do too much, could we? In light of Calvary. I think a good example of this would be the one leper who was healed among the ten by the Lord Jesus. He turned back and he got on his knees and he thanked the Lord, and that man was made whole. Believe that that's how the Lord would have you and I respond this morning to His goodness and His grace and His mercy. We are a blessed people. Oh, yes, we have problems and we have issues. And I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm talking about our relationship with the world in an eternal perspective. We are a blessed people. I think of when Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul, was there on the Damascus Road. And when he met the risen Messiah, Jesus Christ, the first question that he said, "Lord, is that you?" And then he said, "What will you have me do?" He got it right at the beginning. "Now that I've met you, what's my life all about? What do you want me to do?" You ever ask the Lord that question? It's much more than get up and go to work and pay the bills. It's much more than that. It includes that. And we're going to be looking at that tonight in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That wonderful four-letter word, work. What's it all about? Who do we work for? Priorities, priorities. Who should we live for? "Lord, what will you have me to do?" 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul, the Apostle Paul answers his own question, that Christ died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. In other words, the purpose in life for every born again Christian is to live their lives totally, unreservedly, wholeheartedly for the glory of God and for his kingdom, not for things. Let's continue to read verse 15. "Merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to nothing. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. And when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." Gone, just like that. We're not here on this earth that long, you know that? And we better decide who we're going to live for. James says, "You know not that your life is but a vapor? It appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Then you step into eternity. The psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So here we are this morning, beautiful morning, gathered in a building that God has provided for us in the nation of America. And we're surrounded by materialism and all of the things that are mentioned here in Babylon. We're surrounded by it, aren't we? How do we disentangle ourselves from the world and the things of it? How do we do that? Well, Jesus gives us an answer. He tells us, and I would encourage you to read Luke 12, 22 through 34 sometime today. He tells his disciples, "Sell that which you have, give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Paul the Apostle, at the end of his first letter to Timothy, said in chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, "Charge them that are rich in this world," and that would be you and I by comparison, "that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That we be good, that we be rich in good works, that we be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." How do we disentangle ourselves from the world and the things of this world? Well, it's not by building bigger barns. I can assure you, beloved, that when you and I step into eternity, there's not going to be a single one of us that when we get to heaven is going to say, I knew I should have bought that yacht. I just knew it. I knew I should have bought this. I just knew it. Oh, if this is all heaven is like, I listened to that viola. Nobody in heaven's going to be saying, why didn't I buy a bigger barn? Why didn't I buy a newer toy? Why didn't I? No, you're going to get to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven. I know I'm going to be blushing a little bit. Oh, my, oh, my. You mean the money I spent for this could have fed this many people? You mean the thing that I considered a need could have whatever, fill in the blanks? We disentangle ourselves from the things of this world by being kingdom-minded people. It's not building a bigger barn. It's asking God to give you and I a bigger heart. A heart that lives for Christ. A heart that lives for His kingdom. A heart that realizes that there is a real place. We're going to get there very soon, God willing, in the book of Revelation, called heaven. Heaven. Home. Where we really step into the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Notice the response in verse 20. Rejoice over her, you heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. They're not to rejoice in the death of these people, but over the fact that God is just and His justice wins the day. We see a lot of injustice in this world, don't we? And sometimes you wonder, God, where are you? Take heart this morning, saints. The Lord is going to right every wrong. He's a just God. And notice what happens. A mighty angel took up a stone, verse 21, like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19 says, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 22, and the voice of harpers, musicians, and pipers, and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in you. No craftsman of whatsoever crafty be shall be found any more in you. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in you. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorceries were all nations deceived. In the Orient, they grind their meal daily with these handmills. And here we see the cessation of the sound of the millstone is a sign of utter destruction. Everything that is of material essence around us is going to burn. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, what are you living for? Where are your priorities? You see, there is no real life apart from faith in Jesus Christ. There's existence, but no life. The Gospel of John tells us in chapter 1, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that is not the Son of God has not life. In other words, life is in Christ. And we need to identify with the life that we have in Christ, not the things of this world. As a musician, I look at verse 22. And while the music of this world is being brought to an end, The true design for which music was created will continue throughout all eternity. You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Praising God, adoring God, worshiping God. The real ultimate purpose of music will continue while the music of this world fades. And in her was found, in verse 24, the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, there is some divided interpretations. Is this Rome? Is this Jerusalem? Pick up some commentators' books. You take them and let them slug it out. All I know is that I don't want to be a part of this system. And this is what I see here, that the judgment of God upon the wicked is certain. No nation, no city, no person, no matter how proud and powerful, will stand in that day apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The judgment seat of God will reveal the nature of true wealth. And when it does, it will leave many people mourning because earthly treasures were the only wealth they knew. You and I, according to the Bible, are living in the last days. So we need help. Who can give us the right perspective in life? Who will tell us the truth about this world and what our relationship would be, should be with this world? Well, I'm happy to tell you this morning that the one who will tell us the truth about this important issue is Jesus Christ. And he did. When Jesus was ministering on earth, crowds began to follow him. Some for the right reasons, some for the wrong reasons. Some fascinated with miracles, some because he provided them from time to time a free lunch. But there were a couple times when Jesus would talk to the crowd and say words such as what we find in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them. Now listen, these are the words of Jesus, not my words. These are the words of Jesus. Whosoever will come after me. Who's made that claim? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you have an unbribed soul, beloved? Can your soul be bought? What will it take? If the truth be told, our flesh is so incredibly weak. Apart from the power of God, people sell their souls for little. When Jesus is giving this invitation, he's giving a call to commitment. He's giving a call that we be people who are people of conviction and people who live courageously against the flow of society. Oh, we go to work just like everyone else. We have families just like everyone else. But you and I are never going to fit in with this world. We can only flow down the stream so far. And then there is going to be that conflict. That conflict of kingdoms. That conflict of interests. Well, what are the consequences of rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or being ashamed of Jesus and his words? Jesus said, whosoever, that's me, that's everyone, therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this, notice what Jesus said, this adulterous and sinful generation. Jesus didn't have a real good, he really didn't have anything good to say about this fallen world system. Adulterous and sinful, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Whosoever will be ashamed of me and of my words. Wow. That's heavy, isn't it? Takes courage to stand for Jesus, doesn't it? Takes courage to be a man or a woman of commitment or conviction in this world. So at the end of the day, beloved, who really cares for your soul? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there you are again, there you are again, whosoever believeth, that's the word believe, is not just mentally agrees with facts. The word believe means adheres to, clings to, relies on, trusts in, is devoted to. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, that's the people of the world, through him might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from this adulterous and sinful generation, and ultimately saved from eternal wrath and separation from God. The stakes are high, beloved. Very high. A perspective. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things above. Set your affection on things above. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Maybe some of you are asking this morning, well, how do I get there? What do I do? How do I get out of this rat race of this world? Well, you've got to, first of all, take care of the sin debt of your soul. How do you do that? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If there is within your soul this doubt as to whether or not you have been what the Bible calls born again, turn that question mark into an exclamation point. Come to Christ. Trust in Christ. Jesus said, I will give you rest. Not the world. I. The rest of God is in Christ. And he will take, my friend, the weight of your sin debt, just like he took the weight of my sin debt. He's already taken it. We're just coming in to receive what God has done for us. As many as receive him, he gives the power to become the sons of God. You see, this isn't about joining a denomination or a church or waving a banner. I'm a this, I'm a that. This is about loyalty and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. Commit the keeping of your souls to Christ. Come to me, follow me, abide in me, serve me. That's what life's all about. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for showing us clearly the difference that there is between being once born and twice born, and the difference between the two kingdoms that are on earth. Cause us, Father, to be a heavenly, kingdom-minded people. And right now, Father, I pray that if there's any souls in this sanctuary who have never made peace with you, today, by that loving work of your Spirit, you would draw them, Lord, to the saving knowledge of Christ, that they would be born of the Spirit and become your child today. In Jesus' name, bless the Lord,
O my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.